And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We want to look at this. We want to notice some about leprosy, how God sees and removes sin. And we read here about a leper, a man full of leprosy, not in its incipient stages, but he's full of it. Samuel Kellogg says, from among all diseases, leprosy is the Holy Spirit's choice to stand as the ultimate illustration. That is the clearest picture of sin as seen by God. So if you want to think like God thinks about sin, and then think about leprosy. And we can help you with that tonight. We want to look at some instances of leprosy. This man was, in the text here, is a leper. And we probably, I don't know if any of you here have ever seen a leper. I'm not sure that I've ever seen one, a real, one in the flesh. But in Jesus' day, apparently, there were many. Leprosy is the Holy Spirit's choice as the ultimate illustration of the clearest picture of sin as he sees it. So leprosy now is called Hansen's disease, and it attacks the skin. It attacks the nerves and the various membranes. And sometimes when people get leprosy, the flesh, it rots. The flesh just rots on them. We're in Luke chapter 5. So sometimes in India, particularly, rats eat the leper's flesh while the leper sleeps. That's not uncommon. The leper is more or less past feeling because the disease attacks the nerves and the membrane, and the flesh stinks and it rots, and it's not uncommon while these lepers sleep that the rats will nibble and eat their flesh off them. That happens. James Fish, he ministered for 34 years in a leper colony off South Africa. And he had this to say about his ministry to lepers. And I quote, imagine if you can, a Bible study in a room, just like we have tonight. Old people and young people working their way into a room, some limping, some crawling, some being carried, having neither hands or feet. The faces of some are frightfully disfigured. One man is so terribly disfigured that much of his face, from his forehead down to his mouth, is gone. One woman had ears close to 5 inches long. They looked like they were literally dog ears. I knew her once as a beautiful young woman, but her face today, with huge lumps, folds, and deep cracks, is more like an old lion's face. Her once lovely features are completely gone. The family never writes. They refuse even to acknowledge that the girl is their daughter. Such is the horror of this awful disease. One of the things this is leprosy points out and it illustrates, God wants it to illustrate, is that sin separates from God. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 13, we'll turn to that way at the end. The leper had to be outside the camp. He's separated. He's not allowed. He's walking Dothan. And he is excluded from the worship inside the camp. He can't approach God in that dead, living death condition. Not only this, but sin separates from man. The lepers had to dwell outside the camp, not only separated from the worship, but from their fellow man. And this is what it says in Leviticus 13:46. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. His habitation should be outside the camp. Imagine that. You can't believe how bad you would feel, you who are used to interacting with people and being with people, if you were cut off from human society. It's a great, great punishment. We're far more social creatures than we realize. He could be out there with the lepers, or she could be out there with the lepers, but it's a terrible thing. A missionary from an island off the coast of Japan, where a leper colony was located, described what was called a, quote, goodbye tree. There was a bench and a tree there. And it was the place where people said goodbye to the lepers. There, the parting took place, and they said goodbye, and the lepers were considered untouchable. That was a parting. It was just a very sad thing. So we want to consider, look it back in Luke chapter 5. We have a leper full of leprosy, and he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in here for our consideration, and it fits for our time that we're living in. It fits. And I'll explain why I think it fits. But I want to make this proposition to you from what we looked at briefly tonight. If leprosy is a picture of sin as God sees sin, then we must fear sin, have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. And those are the three simple things we look at, each one briefly. And the first one we want to consider then, having looked at leprosy as a picture of sin, as God sees sin. God wants you to think like Him and about what you're seeing in your own life, in your own culture, in our own country. He wants you to think His thoughts and have the same estimate. So leprosy is in the Bible to that end, to help us think rightly about sin as He sees it. So fear sin. Deuteronomy 24:8-9. You don't have to turn to it, but this is what it says. Take heed to the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently, and do all the Levites teach you. Remember what the Lord thy God did to Miriam, by the way, after that you were come forth out of Egypt. This is Moses in the 124th year of his life, in just months or weeks or maybe even days after he writes this, Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24. He will be gone. His mind, his senses are in full vigor, and he is helping these people. He's saying, I am preparing you to go there and stay there and be blessed there. And one of the things that will help you is to remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam, my sister. My sister Miriam, who led the Hebrew women in worship. And Moses said, you remember what the Lord your God did to her. Well, what did God do to Miriam? Well, he gave her leprosy. She's a believer, not an unbeliever. And she had an evil spirit about her. She was jealous and sowing discord. And God gave her leprosy. And Moses interceded for her. And she was cleansed of her leprosy. And hallelujah for that. And I just in passing, I would say, you know, we must all of us examine ourselves. Do we have anyone who are doing, any children or adults who are doing in or doing to your family what Miriam was doing? Miriam was sowing discord and jealousy, and God visited it. And he made it very clear what he thought about it. And I'm sure she remembered it and didn't repeat it. And Moses said, you remember that? Clearly there, leprosy is God's. He said, this is how I view that. I want you to know how I think about that. That's a pretty strong way of saying it. But he said it that way. Here's another one. We won't take a long time, but 2 Chronicles 26. Good King Uzziah was helped marvelously, then smitten with leprosy. And with the leprosy on his forehead, his body now visibly reflected his corrupt spirit. Again, he's a believer. He's not an unbeliever. But his spirit deteriorated. And God visited him with leprosy. God gave him leprosy. And in that case, he did not remove it. He died of it. Again, that's pretty serious. And I would just say that's God's viewpoint. God is telling you now, this is what I think about these sins. Those are both believers. And I would just again, you know, do we have anyone contemplating or participating in some sinful practice or something highly questionable? You would think, we know. You know, I don't need to be told that, but here's a woman, Miriam, and here's a man, Uzziah. They're not novices. They're well-informed. They're experienced believers. And they're visited with that. So, well, one thing I just get out of that, number one, is this. Don't you think, just in that what we've read there so far, that it is appropriate for all of us to fear sin? Fear sin. All right, let's turn now on the bright side. Have faith in our great physician. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. And he had heard, your testimony matters. This man had faith. Listen to him tell. Listen to this man, this leper, express his faith. He had, I don't think in this case it necessarily means the man was an unusually evil sinner. I can't explain all the providence of why one person is healthy and another isn't. Possibly he was a sinner. Possibly he wasn't an unusual sinner. He just got leprosy. But in any case, please notice his faith. Verse 12, he besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he had a lively, believing faith. He said, you could do this. He had heard other people being made well, and how much, at least that, and so he believed. He had faith. And we should talk naturally of God's wondrous works to us, small or big, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so, give thanks, and we never know how much good our good words about what God has done for us will help others. Here's a leper, probably not a great Bible student, but he said, you could heal me. I've heard of you, and you could do this. And this man, this leper, had a measure of faith through hearing, and his faith was rightly placed. He came to him, fell on his face, and said, you could heal me. And think about this try and put yourself back in that situation. We wonder how long it had been since anyone had cordially touched this man. Jesus will touch him. But I wonder how long it had been since anyone physically expressed any cordial touch to him. Well, you can be sure the people are watching. What's going to happen now? Well, you're also seeing a picture of God, God's great compassion. He has seen the Father, seen me. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And notice that this man hadn't been touched cordially. The truth of it is that these people were often driven away with hissing, insults, threats, or even stones. Don't come near me. And he comes near Jesus of Nazareth and said, you could help me. And he got the help. He is in awful condition, full of leprosy, it says. And there are people today who are in an awful, awful, awful condition. And God can still help them. He's the same. Of his fullness have we all received, John 1:16 says, and his fullness hasn't diminished. You can draw out of it and draw out of it, and it's unending. It's an unending ocean of grace we draw from, of his fullness. Have we all received, like waves coming in at Nag's Head, it just keeps coming in. Keeps coming in, one after another, it's there. But we must take it, and this leper did. And we hope more Americans will. More on that in just a minute. But notice this. Look at verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him. Well, that probably drew some gasps. He touched him. And he said, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So you're allowed to use your imagination some in interpreting the scripture. What do you think his countenance looked like? And he said, he knew it. He said, I'm well. It's gone. He was full of leprosy. One minute he's well, the next. He must have felt the strength coming back through his flesh. And I'm well. That happened, just like you read it. So, we wonder what feelings flooded his whole being. Well, he's a God who gives great, he's a great, great cleanser. He said, I will be thou clean. He was clean. Well, once again, just make it in a practical way. How long in our case, or your case, has it been since you had a definite release from sin, a rest, a contentedness resulting from a cleansing? And we must ask the Lord to give us a frequent cleansing. We live in a defiled and defiling world atmosphere, and it gets on us. And we too should pray for a cleansing. He said, verse 14, he charged them to tell no man, go show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing. We have a song in our hymn book, Whiter Than Snow. And for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Well, that's... I want to ask you to turn, if you would, to Leviticus 14, just for a moment. And here is application for all of us on a day-by-day basis. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how many of you believe that he still stoops very low and still today cleanses very wonderfully? How many think he still does that? Say amen. He does do that. And people need that. People are well when they're cleansed. A believer can have all manner of stuff, but if he or she is not a cleansed believer, they're not well. And we need a cleansing, and he's the great cleanser. And we're just looking briefly at this, how God sees and removes sin. And so, look at this remarkable passage. What can you expect him to do for you when you ask for a cleansing? Look at Leviticus 14 and verse 14. And here's the leper. Interestingly, the leper is anointed the same exact way the priest is anointed. All of us the same. And this is what it says. Leviticus 14 and verse 14, and the subject is leprosy, and it's has to do with what Jesus said, go and show the people, go show yourself to the priest, fulfill what's said there. But verse 14 says, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the toe of his right foot. Now that's interesting. Here is the blood of a trespass offering. Whenever there's a bloody offering in the Bible, in the Old Testament, if the Jews offered it, not the heathen offerings, but the bloody offerings are always a picture of Christ. They're a picture of him whose blood is given as an atonement for our sin. And look at this. Here is blood. It's a leper. It's a cleansed leper. On, first of all, his ear. Blood on the ear. And this is signifies his ability now to hear the voice of God. You know, there's lots of people who are spiritually deaf. I suppose, unfortunately, there'll be millions included in this recent hurricane who are deaf. What is that hurricane after all? But it's just God our Father raising his voice. That's what he's doing. It's his weather. Every beast of the field belongs to him. The clouds are his. The earth is his. It isn't anything to him to rearrange things. He, by the word of the Lord, were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spoke them into existence. When it comes time to dispense with the Antichrist, whom he will destroy with the breath of his mouth. That's all. And so, you know, it's a tragedy that so many of the people are deaf. They don't hear it. They miss it completely. How did our nation get to the place where somebody like this warmed over Marxist could even run for president? How did something like this happen? But it's a deterioration downward. And it's a deaf nation. But I hope we're not deaf. God's people don't have to be deaf. Blood on the ear there. And then this one, blood on the hand, on the thumb, on your right thumb. Serving God. Serving him with gladness. He said in one place, let thy hands be strong. Well, I imagine the leper's hands were strong. Our hands can be strong. We need cleansed hands, blood on the thumb. That signifies our hands, our service. And then blood on the toe, the big toe, walking with God. What he had showed the old man was good. What doth the Lord require thee? Thou do justice, love mercy, and what else? Walk humbly with thy God. And that signified in the blood on the right big toe. A restored man. How wonderful. And when it comes, we come then to the last thing. We looked at leprosy as it's a picture of sin, as God sees sin. It is, except only to say this, that illustrations in the Bible are never as great as the thing they represent. The lamb, you know, the Passover lamb, is a picture of Christ. So is Christ greater or lesser than the picture? Well, of course, he's greater. Okay, well then come back to the leprosy illustration. So this leprosy is in the Bible clearly, unmistakably for God. He says, I want you to think like I think about sin. So would sin be worse than leprosy or not as bad as leprosy? Of course it would be worse. Who thinks this way? Very few people. Very few believers, and it'll cost us. And that brings us to the last thing. And look at We want to consider this last point very briefly. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Would you turn, for instance, to Leviticus 14 and verse 45. Here's leprosy in a building. Interestingly, a building. Here we have a house, a place that's likely to communicate disease. What do you do with that? Verse 45, and he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Break down the house. Here's a place, in other words, this house, this building, was a place that was likely to communicate leprosy. He said, we didn't read them all, but leading up to it, he said, there's some inspections you can do. You can scrape it first if you don't want to lose the house and see. He said, but if it comes up that this is a leper's house, that you can't get it out, it keeps coming back, he said, knock it down. You see that verse 45? Take down the house. Demolish it. Well, that has a very real application to us too. There's some places that need to be demolished. I don't mean that we go destroy places, but I mean there are some things that need to be demolished. That he said, these things have no more place. I can't go there. And there's some things I just can't do or own, period. They are likely to communicate the disease. Another, one person, I think it was G. Campbell Morgan, said, whatever in our life has been associated with and contaminated by the leprosy of past sin, it is good to destroy without compromise or pity. One other. And then I want to turn to the New Testament for one verse and we'll conclude. Would you turn to Leviticus 13? It's still talking about leprosy. Two long, long chapters all about leprosy, about sin. And look at this one, the last one we'll look at in Leviticus. Leviticus 13, 47. The garment also. Now we have garments. This is the clothing. The garment also that hath the plague of leprosy, that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment. He's talking about garments here. And that verse 52, he shall, describes all the, we won't take time to read all the different ones. But verse 52 says, relative to these garments that have leprosy in them, he shall therefore burn that garment, whether the warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or in anything of the skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. There's such a thing, this passage says, as the leprosy of garments. And we might just make the application. Some garments are guaranteed to bring out the worst in those who wear them and those who see them. I mean, garments that people wear. I told you about this article. I'm not going to read it to you. I'll let you read it. Some of you read it. And I don't think we need to go into extensive detail about that, except just to say, this is in the Scripture. And there are garments that people wear that they shouldn't wear. That wouldn't include just women. It includes men. There are garments men wear and provoke women to lust and unfortunately now other men to lust of all unfortunate scenarios, sad scenarios. But it's there. There it is. And once again, no one should really need to be extensively lectured on this, but let's not forget it. And we should rejoice. I think you would be horrified. I hope you would. Maybe you wouldn't. We ought to be horrified at much of the dress in contemporary Christianity. Horrified would be If you were horrified at the leper and not horrified at the leprous clothing that many believers unashamedly adorn themselves in public, even on Sunday, it is, you can't be that surprised that the light is this dim in a country with this much opportunity. We can't be surprised that the election we're having. And there, that's in the scripture. So let me conclude with one other. Turn in the New Testament, would you, to and these things are caught as much as taught. And Romans 13 and verse 14. You know, there is such a thing as reading a passage or having God making a passage alive to you that you don't need to read anymore. Augustine, we're not thrilled about everything Augustine said and did, but he said when he read this passage, no further would I read, nor had I any need. He read it and God settled everything for him. There's such a thing as the scripture coming to you that way and said, I don't need to read anymore. I need to hear anymore. I know exactly what I need to think and do. That's it. For him, this says, so I want to just conclude with this passage. Well, look, if you would, at Romans 13 and verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's, we began looking at him. He's the great cleanser. And the great friend of sinners. That's a great thing too. And it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, the desires thereof. What a great verse that is. Now, to fulfill the lust thereof. I just recall, in conclusion, remind you, Miriam's sin. Clearly, God is pointing that out with the leprosy, that the connection there was a sin of disposition, first of all. It was an attitude. That's where it. And the same with Uzziah. He was a sin of disposition. But this verse presents to us, for believers and only believers, the possibility and really the command to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put him on as if he belongs to you. He is your very life, Christ who is our life. And we live in an enormously infected culture. And this is exactly what we need. We need to know the Lord and we need to put him on, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because I live, you shall live, he said. And so that you can have his very disposition and people will see it. They will see it in a lady and said, that is a pure lady. It's evident. She doesn't have to advertise it. It's clear. They will say of a man who puts on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a pure man. You know, he doesn't have to write a biography. They see it. It is that vivid. Well, Augustine read that and he said, no further would I read, nor had I any need. He said, that's it. That settles it. So as we look tonight at our country, it seems to me our land is infected badly with the leprosy of sin. And we know who can do it. We know the only one who can do something about it. And then, of course, his people. And we need to graciously give the gospel to people. Leprosy is a loathsome disease. And Jesus spoke compassionately to that man. And so it's very difficult to always be compassionate. But as we pray tonight, I hope you would say, Lord, enable me to not only just to put you on, to resist this present evil age, that I hope all of us would do, and ask for a cleansing There wouldn't be a soul here who's alive and has indwelling sin that doesn't need a frequent cleansing. But also that he would give you compassion for a perishing world. I am thankful I'm not going to hell. I know I'm not going to hell. And we should grieve that so many people are going to hell. And they have a lot of light to answer for, so their hell will be worse. I want to, on the bright side, to encourage you. And I read this book, The Clouds, and I'm giving you your book back. And I just thought you would be encouraged to hear this. I'll just conclude here. This man is trained to be a guru and a Brahmin, high caste person. And I want to listen what he was witness to. A girl, he's in his teens, and another girl in her teens witnessed to him, endured his foul mouth and his abuse, his verbal abuse. And she stayed there and talked to him and kept a good disposition. And he was saved. So I want to just read to you this. And we want to pray that we'll see that similar things will happen. No one had told us what to do. Several of the people in the family have been saved. No one had told us what to do. Our eyes had been opened by the Lord. We knew there was no compromise, no possible blending of Hinduism and true Christianity. They were diametrically opposed. One was darkness, the other was light. One represented the many roads that all lead to the same destruction. The other was, as Jesus had said, the narrow way to eternal life. When everything had been piled on the rubbish heap, we set it on fire and watched the flames consume our past. The tiny figures, little idols, we had once feared as gods were soon turning to ashes. The evil powers could terrorize us no longer, and there were demonic powers very, very clearly involved and still involved. We rejoiced with one another and offered thanks to the Son of God who had died in order to set us free. As we sang and praised the true God together, we could see that new freedom and joy shining in each other's faces. What an unforgettable day. Pushing the dying embers together, determined to see the past consumed, I found my thoughts going back to my father's cremation nearly 8 years before, in contrast to our newly found joy. And I'll stop there. But they burned all their idols. They swept out the house. They gathered all the paraphernalia they could find of the old life, put out a fire, put it on a pile, set the thing on fire. And that's because God visited them. And I don't understand all how that works, why some people get visited more than others or sooner than others. But let's just pray God would help us all see sin as he sees it and have faith and make no provision for the flesh, but instead to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought it might be good to...